Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. How are you doing today, Colin?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, very good, thanks. So, Extract then. Today it was announced that you had the best period for production since you commenced gold mining at Manica. Do you want to talk us through the production figures?
Yeah, they're pretty self-evident, and they, as you say, they are well higher and bigger than any other single quarter that we've announced since we started. I'd like to say that, though, you know, since we started, we've been cash positive. We've never lost money there. But now we're talking about considerable income from a combination of alluvials and hard rock. The Guy Fawkes there, let's not add too much of a contribution, because we've decided to get away from the previous miners, illegal mining, if you like, and get underneath it. And that's as much to establish bigger takes, but it's also from a safety point of view. You know, you don't want to be mining into other people's caverns when you don't expect it. So that's intersected some interesting small veins, which suits the Chinese, and they're very good at expanding those veins. So that's to come. The benefits of that is to come. Boa Esperanza, we've been working there, and we've got open cast, open pitable expressions of the deposit. They don't run very far, but they're very, very rich. We've been working those and over the quarter and a little bit of the previous quarter, and they've contributed. And we've changed our style a little bit in terms of the general alluvials, in as much as we have jobbed, contracted, I think is probably a better word. It's the same, really, isn't it? We've contracted the alluvials out into small parties, small groups within groups. And so they're nicely capitalized, they've got nice plants, and they're all motivated to make their little section work. So the net result has been, I think it was 87 kilograms at an average cost of about $388 an ounce, and a very nice contribution to the group. And will it continue? Yeah, we're quite confident we're going to continue well into next year. At the moment, of course, it's raining, as it always does this time of year in that part of Africa. And so any alluvial operation which is close to the river will be moved up towards the terraces till the river subsides. But we're still confident that we can actually maintain this sort of progress or close to it. But of course, the big prize is Fairbride. Fairbride is looking to be a very, very nice project. The shareholders have known about it for a long time. It's a very sophisticated build, state of the art, and we're going to do 6 or 7 years mine life there. And the target, internal target, is between 90 and 120 kilograms per month. And of course, we get 23% of that at the operating cash flow. So if you want to work on 100, that gives us 23 kilos a month if they achieve their targets. And, you know, again, the mathematical exercise is gold is $59 a gram at the moment, I think, $58, $59 a gram. And we'll be getting 25,000 grams from that operation per month, together with the alluvials, which are expected to continue. I did have one small remark there. That in Zambia, we're beginning now to establish the faces. So the Chongwe operation will be contributing to income. And at Eureka, wet again, and we put in some more pumps. But again, we've established adventures, and that is ready for production. And we've got nearby processing agreements. So there'll be contribution from Zambia. So if you look at this company, you know, it'll have multi-source income. Income from small hard rock operations in Mozambique, income from alluvials, income from a large open pit mine, 23% of that, and 20% of the alluvials, net of tax, and 20% of Guy Fawkes, net of tax. So really, a de-risk in terms of new capital. And I think the market doesn't give us credit for that or doesn't acknowledge that. These are all de-risked. It's other people's money other people's plant, other people's equipment. We basically, you know, have contracted our operations out and are receiving, on average, it'll be weighted towards Fairbright because of the contribution. So we're getting about 22% net of tax, which is quite nice.
That's nice.
On an ongoing basis. If you're talking about, what are we talking about? Let's assume, again, if they do their 100 kilos a month and we get... So we're looking at about 29, 30 kilos a month there, with our own cost being about 140 a quarter, around about 40 to 50,000 own cost per month. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, up in Zambia, we've got the contribution from the copper. So looking very good.
That's all the other stuff, which probably does value the company at about what it should be valued now. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, that huge, massive thing that seems to be in Australia that we've stuck a hell of a lot of holes into. So we've now stuck millions of holes into this first porphyry, and now we've got Ascot, which you've stuck a few holes into. What's your plan? We're going to keep sticking holes in it, or are we going to sell it?
That's a good question. Are we going to drill forever? We're in that unique position, which I don't think any company in the world's in, as far as I know, from day one, is that we have a buyer. And that buyer, as you know, is a major mining company, Anglo American Corporation. It's very clear how they buy. They buy if we can find 2 million tons of contained copper, or alternatively, we make a decision that we're going to mine. I've been quite consistent on this one over the, I guess since about June last year, as the results became more and more impressive, that, well, look, you know, the conceptual open pit there was quite modest. And we had two or three alternatives which showed they would pay. And I think the 12 million ton per annum at around about 15 years seemed to be the optimum model. We've actually shot the lights out when it comes to that model, that conceptual pit. We've gone much further north than to the west, and we've gone a hell of a lot further to the southeast. I feel that the north is closing, but I feel the south is going to continue. So what sort of pit are we targeting? I guess that we're looking at Tier 1 and the Super League, the Premier League again. We're talking about 25 million tons a year for 20 years. That's the sort of thing I'm looking at where we are now. If it keeps going south, and I'm sure it does, well, we know it does because it's open-ended, then, of course, we'll probably stick at 25 million, but it won't be 20 years, it'll be 25 years, 30 years. And that all was fine. So what have you got there, Kevin? You've got 2 million ton if you do your sums on that one. And you've got a decision to mine as well. So you literally kill two birds with one stone.
When do you start the conversation with Anglo-American?
When that goal is achieved. And our shareholders are very worried. If you don't visit the chat boards, that we're just going to be drilling forever. And quite frankly, I think I made it very clear there that we're very close to the 25 million tons for 20 years, but it looks like it'll end up bigger. And we put in definition to demonstrate that it's open-ended in all directions in Ascot. Target, end of April. And I hope to present at that stage 2 million ton in a conceptual open pit, what works. So again, for those who say I'm very vague and make it up as I go along, target, end of April, 25 million ton a year for 20 years with some definition on Ascot. That is the target to present to the potential buyer or the first right of refusal buyer, AAC. That's the target. If we miss, it's not going to be by quarters. It's going to be by a month or so. Well on the target. What is the lead time? What's the biggest lead time of all that? The biggest lead time for all that is the turnaround of assays, because you cannot actually get a conceptual open pit. You cannot get a resource until you've got all the assay banks. To calculate the rock mass volume, the volume of rock, that's easy. And the model tells us that. That's why I'm able to spit out figures like 500 or 600 million tons of rock. The race course, but that rock only becomes ore when you actually apply a grade to it, and then you get a tonnage of rock with a tonnage of copper equivalent, which ends up at 1.8, 1.9, 2.2, 2.6 million tons of copper, whatever the figure comes out to be. What's really underpinned this story is Ascot. It's really underpinned the story because, you know, if you're reasonably confident that Racecourse will get there anyway, both as a decision to mine and as a 2 million ton, to have Ascot suddenly come into the picture and look at the geophysics to see that Ascot is as big as Racecourse, then you'll see that, and we prove definition that it's open-ended. We don't have to drill it out, Kevin. We just don't have to drill it out. They've just got to know it there. And it was suggested again on the bulletin boards, oh, in that case, Collins find a new problem for the shareholders. They've got to drill it out. Of course we haven't. If I sell you a massive retail complex and next door is a car park and then there's another area which you can build an hotel on and there's another area which you can build a bowling ring on, you don't need to build the bowling ring and the new hotel. The developer who comes in, he'll have his story and he'll make the best of it. So that's why, again, occasionally I see on the bulletin boards that, oh, he's just, you know, talking bull there, really. You know, he's got to get a measured resource. Majors don't buy measured resource. I sold the 14th biggest copper mine in the world now, you know, Sentinel. And we'd outlined it. We'd outlined the resource. It was even arguable whether it was inferred. We'd outlined. We showed him it was a few kilometers long, that it was open-ended at depth. And, you know, that we did our rock mass calculation again and got about a billion and a half tons, and they were very happy to take it on. Thank you very much. But to try and suggest that you need a measured resource, you know, it defeats the evolution of a mining project. The majors come in when there's reasonable geological justification to assume that you've got a big mass of rock which contains a lot of metal. And let's face it, that's what Extract have done. What we've got to do now, it's the pink ribbon, what just in actual fact applies a tonnage to it, and that tonnage and grade, and therefore tons of copper, and an independent is going to have to sign that off. It's not no good Extract signing.
Do you think in a year's time from now, shareholders in Extract will be a lot happier and in a better place than they are right now?
I should be disappointed if we're all here in a year. You know, I'm setting more aggressive internal targets.
Yeah.
In terms of the Lachlan fold, April, May is our target to talk to
I mean, what is the difference between, obviously, you know, you've got the magical target or you've got the sort of buyback, but what, I'm not confused, but this sort of decision to mine, I mean, it's one or the other, or are they kind of both?
Either of those situations prompt the discussions.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you've got both of those situations, 2 million tons, and you've outlined the mine, you're in a damn sort of sight stronger position when you go to the table.
Yeah. And obviously with the recent Manica, you know, the production, obviously, presumably that'll mean that there's working capital coming in and there's no need for any raises, because there's always talk on the bulletin board of they're going to have to raise again, you know.
Why would I don't know why they would say that, because when we had the last raise, we were going to drill around about 16,000 meters. We've drilled nearly 25,000 meters now, and that budget has been extremely well controlled. And I've given you a target of April, so obviously I can build forward the amount of meters we're going to drill between now and April, because we know what our daily production is. I know what the assays cost against those meters. I know what the metallurgical test work will cost in order to do the conceptual open pit. I know what the conceptual open pit revision will do from the one we produced last year. And I feel that the Treasury is going to get us to where we want to be there. Now, you know, if we hit yet another bonanza, that might affect our thinking. But, you know, at the moment, I've given a very clear goal, a very clear mission. End of April, 2 million tons, decision to mine, hopefully concurrent, but certainly 2 million tons. That's a mission, and that's I feel as though we're funded for that mission.
Okay, Colin, so one last question. When this deal gets done, whether it's with American or whoever, where are you taking me and Phil?
Where am I going to take you and Phil? Well, if COVID-19's finished, I'll take you to McDonald's on Regent Street. How's that?
Oh, big spender.
Oh, that's right. That's big spenders. So
I think it should be more of a case of where are we taking Colin for a nice meal?
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, there's many ways of looking at that.
There's many ways of looking at it, but McDonald's is not one of them, Colin. Come on, have some.
I think we should go to that Salt Bay place, you know, the guy, the Turkish salt guy bay. With the old salt running down his arm, you know. Gold leaf tomahawk steaks.
How does that sound? Yeah, where's that? I've heard
that's at Mayfair in one of the hotels. It's in
I've heard something about that. You talk about I'll talk about salt beef. I mean, again, to me, you know, you go to Selfridges, you know, where we might extend to a salt beef sandwich and some pickles. If you're having
freshly caught organic crayfish with some lobster on the side.
Yeah, we'll take a man out the north,
but you can't take the north out of a man, can you?
That's right. Fish chips and mushy peas.
I thought that was very generous, the idea of going to South.
Well, because it was on Regent Street, it was more expensive.
No, it's Oxford Street, Selfridges, I think, but yeah, not very far away.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, and good luck, both of you. Thank you very much indeed.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.